to talk a little bit about the Good Samaritan today, and maybe I'm going to take a little bit different approach to this than maybe what you've heard in the past. And the because we all know about, you know, the Good Samaritan. I mean, we have Good Samaritan laws today based on this scripture about what, you know, and how this Good Samaritan intervened and helped in the life of this traveler. And so we're going to look at that today, but I am going to look at it a little differently. And so, but before I jump into that message, I think it's appropriate. Most of you know my work at the City Mission in Washington, and I thought maybe it might be appropriate for me just to give you a real quick update on what's happening there. So, you know, obviously we've been going through a lot of challenges at the mission with this pandemic, and the last year and a half has been a real challenge for us. We've had to change a lot of protocols that we usually followed, and we had to change a lot of things, slow down intakes and people wanting to get into our program. And so we've had to do a number of things like that to try to adjust in order to make sure that we kept our residents and our staff safe. And so I am very pleased to be able to say we are fully open today and fully functioning. I praise God for that. Amen. This has been a challenging time. And you know, the thing is, whenever you, and it does kind of relate to the message today somewhat, because when you have a facility that provides food, shelter, hope for people who have lost everything, men, women, children, veterans that are on our streets, I mean, and when you have to like slow everything down, I'll tell you what, it's heartbreaking. To not be able to take people into our program over this past year and a half. We did do it. We did it slowly and cautiously to make sure everybody stayed safe. But I'll tell you what, it is absolutely a heartbreaking thing to see somebody who calls and says they don't have a place to go, and you're saying, well, can you wait a week and maybe come back or come in a week? Well, for many men and women, a week is way too long. The window of opportunity to really be able to minister to folks is a very small window. And when people are motivated to get help, that's, you want to take advantage of it. And so we were struggling with that, having to feed people, you know, what we call walk-ins. These are the people that are on the street or in the community or low income who make their way to the mission to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we had to go from walk-ins to walk-bys. We had to bag little breakfasts and bag lunches and bag dinners and hand them out the back of the mission for people as they went by and they picked up their food, which takes away from time for us to actually do any real spiritual ministry with them. And so they're all back in the building. So all the walk-ins are actually, the walk-bys are now the walk-ins. And so they actually can come into the building and eat, and we have a chance to really do ministry with those that are coming in off the street as well. And just by the way, we opened a thrift store down in Monongahela this past week. If you're ever down that way, stop in and check out the new store that we have down in Monongahela. Now, of course, when you talk about the Good Samaritan, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 25, and I'm going to read this, and then, you know, we're going to start talking about this a little bit, and again, it's going to be a little different than maybe what you've heard in the past. I can relate so many different things, and I could spend a lot of time talking to you about the Good Samaritan and how it relates to the ministry of the City Mission in Washington and in the surrounding communities, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of connection there. There's in this story that Jesus tells, he talks about this traveler who falls among thieves and gets beaten up and, you know, left half dead. And so, you know, this Samaritan comes by, picks him up, brings him to this inn and takes care of him and then pays for his stay down the road. And so, which is obviously pretty awesome. And there's since the fire of 2015, June of 2015, about 18,000 Good Samaritans paid to make sure that the City Mission doors stay open so that the homeless and needy in our community can have a place to stay, food, and a chance to know Jesus Christ. And so for every one of you that have given, this church has given. I can say it's been a miracle to see what God has done at the City Mission. And so I praise God for that. And for today, for the mission being fully open, it's been just an awesome to get through this this time of whatever you want to call it. It's just, it's something that I've never seen before. And many of you probably haven't either, but this has been a time in our society like I've never seen. Even those who you thought were unified are divided. So it's a crazy, we're just living in a crazy time. But let me just read this portion of scripture for you, and then we're going to go down through this and talk a little bit about it. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Interesting question from an expert in the law. Some translations just call him an attorney, a lawyer. And, you know, lawyers' job is to know the law, right? I mean, that's their job, know what the law says. Because many people in the temple depended on these lawyers to be able to, you know, talk to them about the things that are going on in their culture. And so this lawyer asked the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, well, he kind of turns it back on him. "What's written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" Now, Jesus knew that he knew the scriptures. He knew the law. He was an expert. Yeah, the expert in the law answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I'm sure that this expert in the law, as we see, his motivation was to test Jesus. And so he was trying to get Jesus to say something that he could accuse him of, that maybe later on they can, when they're talking about who he is, you know, "But this is what Jesus said when I asked him, what do you have to do to inherit eternal life?" And so this lawyer was trying to trap Jesus in saying something that he could accuse him of at some other point. And so Jesus says, "You have answered correctly." I'm sure he was taken back by that. That would have to be something. You know, he thought he was getting them, you know, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength," because, you know, he was trying to challenge Jesus. And then Jesus said, "You're correct. You're right." And here he said, "You did it." And Jesus replied, "Do this and you will live." But like any good attorney, he couldn't leave it there. He couldn't just accept that, what Jesus said. You know, he couldn't just accept what the word said, what the law said. He had to take it to the next step. And he says, when Jesus said, he answered correctly, and he said, and he wanted to justify himself for what he had asked. He said, "So, and who is my neighbor?" Well, you know, if you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, you can't help but love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, you can't do one and not the other. It's impossible, because we are created in the image of God. You can't separate these two. But Jesus knew something about this attorney, and he knew that he knew the scriptures. He knew what the law said. He knew it in his head, but he didn't know it in his heart. He could quote the scripture. He could tell you that this is what you got to do to inherit eternal life. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he never knew it in his heart. So, and Jesus knew this, and so Jesus is going to give this parable and help him learn what this means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But one of the scriptures that will help us understand a little bit about this attorney is just a couple chapters back in chapter 7 of the same book of Luke, and we're looking at 29 and 30, and it says this, "And all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. So in other words, some of these experts in the law, they heard John the Baptist preaching, prepare the way of the Lord, you know, repent, turn, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A lot of people were repenting and turning to the Lord. And so when they heard Jesus' words, they knew God's way was right. But these experts of the law, some of them, rejected what John the Baptist had to say. And therefore, rejecting the messenger, you reject the message. It's about Jesus. And so this expert in the law was already at a place where he was rejecting anything that Jesus was saying. He already knew that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. I know John the Baptist was saying these things, but it's not true. And I'll prove it to you. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he thought he had him, but he didn't. Interesting stuff. So anyways, so we know that we can see that this is what happened with this lawyer. Now, one of the things I'd ask is this, you know, do you find yourself sometimes doing the same thing? You're just asking God, you know, man, you know, it's like trying to challenge some of the things that God's word might say. And so we find ourselves sometimes, not, you know, being a little bit lawyerly with the Lord. But and that's something that, you know, each of us sometimes, and I know sometimes when I think about what God is speaking to me about, and I'm thinking, God, really? You know, is that really what I need to do? Is this really what I have to go about and do? And God will give you the grace to do it. So here's the story. Here's the parable. A man was walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So this man walking from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Interesting. I mean, it's about a 17-mile journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. And so, you know, it's a rough stretch of highway, you know, path, I guess, that they had to walk down to get there. And this guy falls into these hands of these robbers. Strip him, beat him, leave him half dead. Well, one of the things that, as I was reading this, I began to realize something, you know. On this journey of life that we're on, and each of us are on this journey, there are times in our lives when we find ourselves falling into the hands of robbers. Not physically, maybe, although there may be some in here who have experienced that, somebody robbing them, but I'm talking spiritually. There are many of us in this journey of life have come across, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's situations, circumstances where we are feeling robbed of our joy, robbed of our peace, robbed of our hope, robbed of our future. And I know that I've experienced this and on numerous occasions where you feel like everything is just going great, and then something happens that just steals your joy, steals your happiness. You fall in the hands of these spiritual robbers. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, here's what it says. And all of us know this scripture. We know what it says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or to have it more abundantly. This is why Jesus came. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. We know what that scripture says. These robbers took from this man everything. Stripped him, beat him, left him half dead, probably hoped he would die. But sometimes we find ourselves in the same situation, beaten down, discouraged, frustrated, losing our joy and our peace and our happiness, everything that God has for us. And in this world today, I'll tell you what, if you're listening to the news, I don't know how you can't get depressed. And it's like that. It's like a robber. It's like falling into the hands of a robber who steals this joy from you. I know that there, and maybe some of you can relate to this, you could be having a great day. And then you run into somebody and you're talking, all of a sudden that person just brings you down, like you just takes you down. You're wondering, what in the world? Everything was going so good. And then all of a sudden now, I'm even wondering if I'm a Christian because of the way this person did or the circumstance that comes into your life. Beaten down, left half dead spiritually. And I'm telling you, something here is that the body of Christ today in this world, I feel like that's what's happening to us. We're getting stripped, beaten down, left to be half dead spiritually. We're losing our enthusiasm. We look around us and we see everything that's happening, and we don't like it. We wish it was different. There are a lot of people today that, unfortunately, I hate to say this, whom proclaim to know Christ and have walked away from the faith because of what is happening. They can't, the pressure, the oppression that they feel that's coming from the world. It's a lot. I know there's some of you in here today, you're feeling it, you know it, you see it, you sense it. We're talking about here at the church, we're talking about, radical hospitality. most of our neighbors don't even want any hospitality. They just want to be left alone. Stay in their house. Go to work, come back, stay in their house. They don't really want to get out and do anything. It's amazing. We're trying to be hospitable. And the neighbors around us, not all of them, obviously, but it's a challenge to do it. It's a challenge to do it. So, here's a brief testimony, maybe to help you understand this a little bit. I remember... and I use these as examples because this is, and I could give you a lot more, I guess, but back when that fire happened at the mission, I remember standing outside the mission, and I'm looking at the charred lumber from the fire. I'm looking at the hole in the roof where the fireman had to punch a hole in the roof and put the water hose down there and to put the fire out. The windows are all broken. It was the main facility where most of our ministry took place. And I sat there and I'm like, oh my God, robbed. I felt robbed of the opportunity that God had called me to serve. Robbed. And then a former resident comes walking down the street and he comes up to me and he hands me a check. And I knew this guy, and I looked at the check, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I knew this guy didn't have a lot of money. And, so I gave him the check back. I said, listen, please, you don't have to do this. And with tears in his eyes, he looked at me, and he said, Dean, this place saved my life. And I want to do this. I went from being somebody who felt like he was just robbed to somebody who just said, to being so blessed to see a former resident of the mission to come down and to be able to do something like that. And that has been repeated many, many times over and over since 2015. Absolutely amazing to see the transformation in the lives of these men and women who walk through the doors of the mission, who come to know Jesus Christ in a very personal, real way. Their lives are different today. Lives are changed. That guy would have never done that. But with tears in his eyes, he gave me that check and said this was something he wanted to do. So, did you ever put your heart, soul, mind, and strength into something? Did you ever have a goal, something that you wanted to learn, something that you really wanted to do? And so you spent hours, weeks, months, years perfecting something. until you got to that place where you were on top of it. Well, this is what Jesus is saying. Love God that way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, in this story, and I'm going to, oh my gosh. Okay, I've got to get to the point. But in this story, so here we have this, who comes along? A priest and a Levite. Now, Jesus knows that this expert in the law is going to understand the priest and the Levite because they all work together. This expert in the law knows the job of the priest and the Levite. He knows what they do in the temple and the sacrifices and taking care of the tabernacle. And so they have some big responsibilities in the church. And so Jesus knows that he'll understand that. So he says, priest and Levite come by. It almost sounds like a joke, you know, that you hear, did I ever tell you the story about the priest and the Levite that came? No, never mind. But the priest and the Levite, they come by and they encounter this man, this traveler along the road, beaten up, stripped, hurting, and they go on the other side and they walk away. And so sometimes I think about that and I think, what would they think? What was in their minds? What was their motivation? Too busy? I got really important things to do? I'm too good for this? Out of sight, out of mind, walk on the other side, don't pay any attention to it, pretend like it doesn't exist. Maybe they thought they would be unclean if they touched this person. I don't know what their motivation was, but we know this. The religiosity that they carried had no impact on their actions. I'm sure they knew what God's word said too. So the priest and the Levite were no better than the robbers. Sometimes, you know, we're all aware of sins of commission, things that we do. But there's also sins of omission. Things that we don't do, that we should do, and we don't do it. In the priest and the Levite, sins of omission, they didn't do anything. They walked away, pretend like it didn't exist. I say this because I know I've done it myself. There have been times like that priest and the Levite where I've did not want to see and didn't want to act. And sometimes I had conviction about in my heart about not acting when I should have acted. But God makes a way for us. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, here comes the Good Samaritan. Before I get to the Good Samaritan, I want to tell you this too, because this is something that we're talking about the priest and Levite and maybe what their attitude was over the years. And you know, my work in missions goes over a little over 40 years that I've been doing this. And I got to tell you something: there were people that have said to me over the years, Dean, why in the world are you doing this? Why are you spending your time, your life, investing in homeless, addicted, mentally ill people? Don't you know that they put themselves in this situation? They made these decisions. They're in that position, so why don't you just let them work themselves out of it? I wish it worked that way, but it doesn't. God calls us to be his hands and feet in this world. He calls us to be the Good Samaritan. So in this story, and I'm just mentioning this, nowhere in the story does this Samaritan called good. what he is called is the one who showed mercy. He's not necessarily called good, but we call him good because of what he did. But he was the one that showed mercy. Now, this Samaritan is despised. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He's despised by the Jews because they're intermarried. And we know, and we're not going to go through this, but you know back in John chapter 4 where Jesus encounters the woman at the well. And she says, she lets him know that, hey, as a Samaritan, you're not supposed to be talking to me. And she says that, you know, you believe that Jerusalem is where we're supposed to worship, and we don't. We believe it's at this mountain. And there's this division between the Samaritans and the Jews. So Jesus also knows that this expert of the law knows this as well. He knows that the Samaritans are not a despised people. But, you know, sometimes our help comes from the most unlikely of sources, don't they? As I shared with you that story, my little story about, you know, standing there looking at a burned out building and having a resident come down, I would have never in a million years thought that that would have happened. That somebody, a former resident coming down to contribute to help rebuild the mission. So, one of the things that stands out about this Good Samaritan, as we see that he had compassion, he had pity on this person. We know that Jesus did the same thing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus looked on the crowds, and he was moved with compassion for them because they were harassed and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. This Samaritan moved with compassion when he saw this man stripped, half dead, laying along the side of the road, all beaten up. But he takes this guy, and there's many things that he does. He picks him up, puts him on his own donkey, takes him to an inn, pays for his stay, cares for him. Next day he's leaving, he pays for him. And I think that according to some commentaries, they say that he paid for about 2 months for this guy to stay in this inn. About 2 months. And asked the innkeeper to take care of him. And when he comes back, I'll take care of whatever additional expense there is. It's amazing. Well, you know what? Jesus paid our bill, didn't he? He paid our bill. We owe him everything. We owe him everything. Our very lives today, as we sit in this as a congregation, we owe Jesus everything. He gave his life for us. He paid the bill. And you may be here today, and maybe you can relate to this traveler, the one who's beaten and left half dead. Maybe you're feeling so brokenhearted. Well, Jesus wants to bind up your wounds. He wants to bring healing to you emotionally, psychologically, physically, because that's who he is. And this Samaritan, and doesn't even say anything about him, other than we know that he's, you know, a guy traveling down this road. Nothing else is said about him. And so therefore, he could be you. But you also could be the Good Samaritan. You will encounter things in your life on this journey where God is going to call on you to take action on something for someone that you see, and you're going to be moved with compassion. And I pray that God, that you will act on it. That you won't turn away like the priest and the Levite who walked away to pretend like it doesn't exist because they had too many other things to do. Can you imagine the gratitude that Samaritan felt when he came to in that inn and found out that this Samaritan took him there, you know, bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine on his wounds, paid for his stay? I think he would have an extreme amount of gratitude. And this is one of the things that I know at the mission when we work with our clients, we talk about it, we ask them to keep a gratitude journal. Because on this road of life, you can't do it by yourself. God calls us to do this together. And sometimes there's a Samaritan, and we need a Samaritan in our life. When we're down, when we're out, when we are not feeling like we're on top of it, we need somebody to come alongside of us who's going to bind up our wounds, help us. And Jesus will do that, and he does it through you and I, with those that we come in contact with. And you're going to see him all the time. You're going to go down this road of life, and you're going to encounter somebody who's going to need you. So as we move, and we're going to be doing communion here in just a couple of minutes, but I just want to challenge you today. If you're here and you are relating to this traveler, you are hurting, you are broken, you are, you know, you feel like the robbers are around you, they're stealing your joy and your peace, and you need prayer today, I certainly want to pray for you. And we have elders here that will pray for you as well. So as we close out this portion and we go into our communion, let me just pray for you, because I know there are people in here that can relate to this traveler. I know I can. But let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you paid the bill. That, Lord, that you have provided for us. You cared for us. You've healed us. You have healed the brokenhearted. And you are present today to do it again. Sometimes in this world, Lord, we find ourselves beaten, struggling. We find ourselves along the road and hoping that somebody would come by with a good word, with a helping hand. But Father, we know that this is what you meant when you said to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. This is what you want for us. And so, Father, I pray today for everyone in this room that, God, that you would speak to their hearts, remind them of something maybe that they've bypassed in the past, something they've walked by. Maybe it's a family member who needs a good Samaritan, who needs somebody to step up, help them, bind up their wounds. And so, Father, I lift everyone here today, and I pray, God, that as we leave this place, that we will go and be the hands and feet of Jesus to the hurting world that's outside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.